is Catherine S. from Ocean Beach.
Do we have a timer? Because I'm going to time. If not, do we have... Perfect. I'm still going to do it. Hi, I'm Catherine Alcoholic. I do not have a desire to be a 10-minute speaker. I'll just get that out there. But thank you, David, for asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope with everyone here tonight. I came into this room like 2 years ago. I came to this meeting, and it looks nothing like it does right now. But I'm glad to be here. My sobriety date is August 24th, 2015. So I just celebrated 4 years of real life. I can tell you that my first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting was in 1996. My college roommates did what I discovered was an intervention on me, and it didn't stick, you know, and I had a couple decades of incomprehensible demoralization. I need to slow down. I don't know if you're like me, but I have a committee, and it's really loud right now, and I thought I knew exactly what I was going to say until I went from... Thrifty's ice cream into here, and so here we go. Your guess is as good as mine. So needless to say, when I got here, I come from a long line of alcoholics, and when I got here, just to verify, I had 7 arrests, 5 DUIs, and I've been known to pass out on my desk in the lobby in the middle of the day a few times, and so I couldn't keep a job. And I'd like to say the last blackout I had was in my office, and I came to in an elevator with my boss, and he said, "Are you okay to drive?" And because I had this hidden life, like nobody knew that I took the bus, you know? Nobody knew I took the bus, and I would drink on the way to work, and I would drink throughout the day thinking nobody knew I loved red wine. I can remember doing the whole, like, I switched from red wine to vodka thinking that maybe I wouldn't drink as much, but I just got drunk faster. And I like to say that I got sober then. You know, I had, in all those decades, you know, the 2 decades that it took me to get here, like I knew about AA. You know, I'd go in on a Monday, I'd be drunk by Thursday. And that's just how it was for me. And I'd like to say that that was a moment of clarity for me, but it wasn't. I spent like the next 3 weeks going. I had like the circle of where I lived that I could walk to, a CVS, a BevMo, Dick's Liquor, Vons, you know. So I'd go to different places so nobody would know I was an alcoholic. And I would see you guys in the grocery store. I'd hide from you, you know. And I'd see my parents and I'd hide from them. And I, you know, spent like 3 weeks just like in shit. Pardon my language. And there was a moment where I woke up. It was a Sunday morning. I drank what I had left because I was the kind of drinker that whatever was left on my nightstand, I drank. And if there wasn't a cigarette butt in it, it was going to be a good day. And I was looking at myself in the mirror, and I just couldn't do it. I just could not do it anymore. And so, like, my bottom, like, I'd had all these bottoms and all these opportunities. I had jail time. I had an ankle bracelet. I had, you know, surgery where I was handcuffed to the gurney and everything because I was an inmate. There's a whole nother story there. And I've seen the inside of the men's jail downtown. That's where they do your medical checkups, just in case you were wondering. It wasn't. It was just that one moment when I woke up, and I came to La Jolla Beginners because I could walk there. I did all my early meetings in La Jolla, and a woman came up to me after that meeting, and she had seen me for so long come in and out that she, like, directed me to another meeting that week. And I literally spent the next 3 weeks just crawling to meetings, and that's all I did. I would go to an evening meeting. And then once I started to feel better, I would complain about how bored I was, you know, and because I didn't have a job. And someone said, "You need to go to more meetings." And so I knew that there was a 7 a.m. meeting called La Jolla Sunrise, and I went to that meeting. I walked there. It was summer. It's August. You know, we're probably in September by now. They read the promises at the end of this meeting. And so they were reading the promises, and they said, "Are these extravagant promises?" And I heard this voice say, "Yes." When it was all, you know, the people say, "We think not." And that person and I, he introduced me to a whole bunch of other meetings. And I finally started to get my footing in here. And what a great thing. If you're new, I hope that you stay with us. You know, I hope that you just stay. Even if you go out and have a drink tonight, I hope you just stay. What happened for me is I didn't want this to be my solution. I definitely did not want God to be a part of it. I didn't like anything to do with it. And my friend Barry Sutherland said he has a God that he doesn't understand. And that made it okay for me, you know. That made it okay for me to pray for the willingness to believe in a power greater than myself. I can tell you that when I was about a year and a half sober, my sponsor said that we're backing up to steps 2 and 3. And I thought I was failing AA. I was flunking the step. It was like going to the principal's office, you know. And we got down on our knees together, and that was the first time I ever prayed with another person like that. And I was giggly going down. I was embarrassed and, like, you know, nervous and everything. And you know, as soon as we started, I started crying. And I can tell you, when I did my fourth step, I did not want to do it. I did, like, the thing where I, you know, dreaded it and dragged my feet, and when I finally put the pen to paper, it all came out, you know, and I wanted that, like, bright light experience that you guys all talked about in your fifth step, and I didn't get that, and I was annoyed, you know, but I just kept doing what you guys told me to do, and that was just stay, you know, just do the next indicated step. And I can tell you that my defects of character are fun. If you're like me, I create stories in my head, and I'm very territorial, okay? And so there was a step study at my sponsor's house, and it was a small group of women, and one of my favorite friends asked to speak to my sponsor after one of our meetings. And I created this horrendous story in my head that she's going to be sponsored by her, she's going to like her better. It was this whole ordeal. And I was, like, going off about it in meetings, and how dare she cheat on me, my sponsor, and, like, all kinds of stuff, you know. And finally, when I actually talked to them about it, it was like no big deal. Everything that I created in my head. So needless to say, I'm very territorial. I have unenforceable rules that I create. You know, and I just ask God to help me be a better human every day, you know, and sometimes I am and sometimes I'm not. And my amends, I can tell you that bright light, that experience that I wanted came when I finally did my amends. I got fired, as I told you, from some jobs, and so these bosses were on my list, and I did not want to reach out to them. And I ran into one of them at a Trader Joe's, and I avoided it. You know, I thought I was willing. That's all you needed to do, was to be willing, and I was not willing. And this haunted me, and you people told me I grow or I go. And so I finally, about a year and a half ago, I reached out to these two gentlemen, and they both agreed to meet with me. And I can tell you, when I was going into meeting with the first one, all these things started coming back that I had done, you know, because I was like, how dare he not give me an opportunity to, like, prove myself not a drunk. And I sat down with this man and made my amends, and I walked away from that knowing that if I never pick up a drink again, I never have to be that woman. And that's where my bright light came. And it lasted all about 5 seconds, you know. I was like, woo, you know, and then there was the broken shoelace. So progress, not perfection. You know, it's 10, 11, and 12 where I try and, like, grow up. You know, that teaches me how to grow up. And I do a nightly inventory most evenings. A lot of the times I'll skip it if I don't want to take a look at what's really going on and what's really annoying me. But I know at the end of the day I need to get down to the bottom of it. And that's what I try and do. I have very little meditation in my life, but I do have a routine. I'm one of those early riser people. I'm up at 4 a.m. I give myself half an hour before I do anything to do my readings. You know, I do a gratitude list every morning with a couple other alcoholics, 5 things, and that starts my day. And got 2 minutes. And so, you know, I'm 4 years sober, you know. Tomorrow's going to be a new day. Each day I'm definitely doing something different, but also the same. Like, today does not look like yesterday for me. And I can tell you, I just recently moved to Ocean Beach in April, and I was outside of the, I was at the farmer's market. And this girl comes up to me, and finally, so there's a story about a fiddle fig where I, like, in my mind, karate, like, high kicked this woman who was staring at my fiddle fig. You know, she wanted it, I wanted it, I got it. And I'm standing off to the side, and this girl comes up to me, and she says, I saw you at a meeting in Pacific Beach. You spoke, I don't recognize her or didn't anything like that. But what it did for me is it made me realize that I need to show up as my best self on a daily basis, because I don't know who is paying attention or not. And what it's made me do is, when I'm in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, I listen now, you know? I don't look at my phone. I don't, sometimes I do. But, you know, it made me more aware of my surroundings and how I carry myself. And I owe that all to you, because I was a girl that couldn't get out of bed without having a drink. And that's not my life today. And it feels pretty darn good. So if you're new, I hope that you stay. Find a sponsor. Mai speaks the language of the heart, and I adore her. She always reminds me that I'm leading with my head or with my mind and not my heart. And so I try to do it that way. I have a friend in my life that trusts me to read the big book with her. And for that, I'm forever grateful. And I'm forever grateful for you people who just told me to stay. So thank you.